Hey everyone, this is Scott Ferrioli from dvc-rental.com and buyandselldvc.com. There's a chill in the air coming this holiday season, and if you're thinking of coming to Disney, check out the deals section on our website. There are a bunch of great last-minute deals available. Or if you're thinking of possibly surprising your family for the holiday season, check out our resales page at buyandselldvc.com, where you can have a lifetime of Disney memories for your family at a discounted price.
Hello, welcome to the WDW Review. I'm your host, Chris Malik, and I'm joined by two really good friends. I want to reintroduce to you Cassandra Callahan. And Chris, have you been on before? Have we ever had you on the air, Chris Callahan? Have you joined us yet?
We have talked about it, but I have not yet. This is the first time.
This is it. This is a good
finally,
day.
Finally. Yep. Yes.
Exactly. Great to see you guys. Before we start, you know what we do. We love hearing good news. Oh, I should probably say, I apologize if you hear a bit of like nasally in my voice. I'm getting over a cold. I've had it all week long and I'm at the tail end. I felt good the entire time, but it's coming out audibly. You can hear it in my voice. So I feel good. So if you hear any coughing or whatnot, it's me. I apologize. Anyways, good in your life. Hit us up with some. What do you got?
Good in our life. So it is currently, as of recording, the end of September. We are all gearing up for the holidays. So what we have, Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas coming up. So my favorite time of year. My daughter, we went and picked out her Halloween costume today. So she did not want to take it off for 3 hours. But in an effort to actually make it to Halloween, we had to peel her out of it. Okay. So, and then this October, we are celebrating 16 years of marriage.
Yep.
So October 27th. Yep.
These are all amazing things.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I got to ask, what is the Halloween costume?
It is a cheerleader. So a zombie cheerleader.
Nice.
You know, because we've been watching zombies, you know, on Disney Plus, like on repeat. Zombies and Descendants over and over again. Of course, they had the licensed costumes while we were there. But we, you know, this one that we picked out is kind of, we're South Carolina Gamecock fans and it's kind of garnet black and white. So we're going the South Carolina Gamecock zombie cheerleader route.
Sweet. I love Halloween myself too. So what is Parker going to be? Is he going to dress up still?
He's bowing out. I think this is the first year bowing out. He almost bowed out last year, but we got him to go with us for just a little bit because he got to wear the Mandalorian helmet that Chris has.
Yeah, I got the Black Series Hasbro.
Yeah.
All right, stop right here. Stop the presses. Is he bowing out of wearing a costume or trick-or-treating? Is he done with trick-or-treating at this point?
Yeah, I think so. And so I tried to explain that when Audrey and I got back from Spirit Halloween, like, dude, there's all kinds of awesome masks there. Like, I mean, what did you say I found? I took a picture of Audrey in.
The Tusken Raider.
A Tusken Raider mask.
Nice. All right. So you have Parker listen to this show when it comes out. And here's a lesson from his old Uncle Chris. All right. Here's a lesson. Even last year, my twins, who were 17 at that time, I convinced them to put a mask on and go and join their little sister and me and their uncle as we walk around the neighborhood. And I said, at some point in your life, you are going to be too old. But that's not right now. And people want to give candy out. When people come to my house, I am looking for reasons to throw candy at people.
Right.
They don't care how old you are. And especially because you can never tell who's wearing the mask or if they have any needs or issues or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, enjoy it. Heck, there are times of the year, honestly, I'm like, you know what? I'm putting a mask on this year.
I'm 4 years old. It's kind of creepy, Chris.
It's kind of going trick or treating. No,
do it. Oh, you mean on Halloween? Not like a random day.
Oh my God. Well, yeah, those days too. I promise. But seriously, you're not too old for that. Go enjoy it until you're a teenager. There is going to be a time in your life where you can't get that done anymore, but you can do it now.
I'm hoping I can talk him into wearing a mask and going trick-or-treating again this year.
If not, I'll have to call him. I got his cell phone. I will call him directly, and he's not going to like
that. I don't know. He's got a little smirk right now as he's walking out the room. Yeah.
Let me share. I don't share often what's good in mind. I want to share something today, though, if that's okay. So I don't know if you saw in our group, I had breakfast with John Krall and the five Krauls. We had breakfast today, and it was so cool to see those guys. So John actually came into Chicago with his family, and they were celebrating John and Katie's wedding anniversary. And this would have been something that Katie would have enjoyed. So they were celebrating it in memory of Katie. And it was so nice just to have a relaxed family breakfast at a restaurant downtown. We had an upstairs table, fit all 10 of us like a giant Brady Bunch breakfast. It was awesome. We all had food, just good conversation. That's what makes our community the best, is during the off season and during the times where it's like we're not at the parks, we still meet up. We still do things together.
Yeah.
So the best part. Anyways, that's what's good in my life too. So I have you guys on today because you went on a unique trip. You guys went to both a land and sea vacation on a DVC member cruise. So you guys were at the Riviera Resort, correct, for a few nights. And then you guys went to a cruise ship. You went to the Wish for a few nights for a member cruise, which I'm completely jealous. As a DVC member, I was never able to do that. And then you came back to Walt Disney World. And so you met with members of the community. You had vacation. You went in the boat. Like Callahan's, could you guys do a small vacation? Can we not arrange a weekend in a camper or something? Like, does it have to always be something like this? It's dramatic.
I think I'm just so far. I'm so afraid of straying from what I know. And luxury is what I know.
Chris. Oh, my God. Bougie. Chris, did you hear that? Bougie. All right. Yeah. Give us all the details. You drove, obviously, right? We have a we're drivers. We're close. We're South Carolina.
Yep.
So where'd you stay when you checked in?
We stayed at the Riviera for three nights. So we left first thing early in the morning on Friday and drove straight in, probably got in around 12:30. Yep. And we had decided let's go do something that we haven't done before. Because we're down frequently. Now we're searching for things. And there's still so many things that we've never done before. But one of those things on my list has always been trying the beignets at French Quarter.
Okay.
Because we had never had an opportunity to do that. So we stopped in, tried the new Haunted Mansion beignets, tried the original beignets. Both were fantastic.
The Bayou Burger.
Oh, we did eat lunch too. Yeah, you got the Bayou Burger. So it was good stuff. And, if I was out of DVC points and I didn't want to rent DVC points, French Quarter would be someplace that I'd want to stay. And then after that, we got our room ready assignments. So we stopped in, dropped off our luggage at the Riviera. And then we went to Disney Springs and met the Ferioli's for dinner at Boathouse.
Boom. Okay. Yeah. Let me ask you, your first stop then. Were you guys prepared with your lanyards? Were you ready to pin trade? And did you guys do that? Or was it just we're just going to have some beignets? Did you do a resort hop or eat and run? What was that like?
So we are pin traders, but we didn't see any pin trading. To be fair, we weren't in search of pin trading at that moment, but we were prepared with our pins, in our luggage, on the lanyards, in bags, in little folios. Because you have your traders, your keepers, and so forth. And then
every pin trading person was like, oh, you let us down. Because we're always on the search for the concierge desk, for the DVC, we're all on search for those guys.
I did do that at the Riviera. Yes, gotcha. I did do that when we got to the Riviera because you have, the shop always has a pin board, the DVC desk, and apparently they had two. At the Riviera, downstairs and upstairs.
Okay. Why'd you pick the Riviera?
Because we own there. And if you are able to snag a studio standard view, the point cost per night is relatively fair in an upper, level resort. So, and because of access to the Skyliner, we had anticipated going to Epcot for the next day. So
I've not stayed at Riviera. I've only visited it a couple times maybe I just need to give it a chance. Maybe I need to stay there to give it a more appropriate chance, because I visited and I've never walked away thinking, wow, that was something special, but I've not stayed there. So I'm probably giving it too quick of a reaction. Tell me the good about the Riviera and tell me about the bad of the Riviera.
Okay. I will say, you know, the rooms are the good about the Riviera. So I think that you would need to stay there to appreciate what else it can offer, you know, having the split bathrooms, mm-hmm. you know, recently being open, large studios, the pull down Murphy bed, plus the, so it sleeps five. And then it's just, you know, the light, bright and airy, kind of like, so very Grand Floridian. So that's the good, but I will say it maybe went down a little bit on my list, to be honest.
Why? Well, yeah. Okay. So that's not good, but why? Chris, what do you think? Tell me about the resort. What knocks it down?
It doesn't have, and it's been a complaint I've heard. It doesn't have like the Disney grandeur. It's got a smaller lobby. It's a pretty resort, but it's not like Grand Floridian when you walk in and you had the big open lobby.
And I know that we joke about being bougie and whatnot, but see, I don't get that vibe so much from Grand Floridian. I get it more from Riviera. Mm-hmm. I think the Riviera is more of an upper, I don't know. If we could have bought Grand Floridian, if Grand Floridian points would have been on sale at the time, you know, we probably would have bought Grand Floridian versus Riviera. So,
well, undoubtedly, there's people that love the Riviera and think, it's the best, right? Undoubtedly,
yeah.
Right?
Absolutely. It's a beautiful resort. Yeah. And
I've always felt like it's okay, good. Because I was going to say, tell me about the food, because when I've walked out of there, I always judge it based upon a few things. Grandeur of the lobby, that's one. Cool amenities around the lobby and like theming, like their theming is like European-ish and like fancy, but like it's not like a grab you like Wilderness Lodge grab you. And food, I know they have, you know, Topolino's and they have other options, but I've never walked away thinking like I need to eat at that quick service, that sit down, that I never felt like I was like, okay, those are the options there, which is not good because it didn't leave a memory, you know, it didn't leave an interest in my
Primo mind. Piatto is pretty good as a quick service. Primo Piatto is pretty good.
Okay.
So, yep.
And then you met the boss for lunch.
And then we met the boss for dinner.
For dinner. So, okay.
For dinner. Yeah. And it was supposed, it was, so what the plan was, is it was also going to be Chris's 41st birthday on this trip. And one of the things that he has said he wanted to do was the Amphicars. And so I said, as part of your birthday present, you know, we'll do the Amphicars. But in order to save $25, if you eat at the Boathouse, they give you a discount towards the Amphicars. So when we met the Farioli's for dinner, a deluge, is that what you would call it? A complete downpour. The Amphicars were not happening. So we did not get to do the Amphicars, but it was still, and it was the first time we've had Boathouse. And it was fantastic.
Food was phenomenal.
Yeah. So I had filet sliders. They were as good as everybody said that they would be.
Do you get to use that $25 off at a later time then? Could you arrange that since it wasn't available on the day of?
Well, maybe, except my boss footed the bill.
Nice. Scott, I'd like to try the Boathouse too. Nice. Okay. It was a birthday meal. I get it. Okay. No problem.
Yeah. So
you got sliders, filet sliders. Chris, what'd you get?
Yes.
I got the New York steak and fries.
Yeah.
That a boy. Like no one went easy on him. That a boy. Yeah. Bring the heat. Yeah. I like it. Okay.
Yeah. It was really good.
Yeah.
Are there any park visits in here in these first few days, guys? Is that our vision or are we just kind of resort hopping before the cruise?
So that was the first day. And then after that, you know, we turned in back to the Riviera and then the next day was going to Epcot.
Yep.
And so we went to Epcot probably like 9:10-ish in the morning, spent a few hours there. And then we've just been to the park so often recently and being annual pass, you know, holders, we don't feel like we have to justify staying there all day. Yeah. So we went back relatively early and made it a pool day the rest of the day. So Saturday was kind of a little,
I got a follow-up question then, because I've always wanted to ask you guys this question and other annual pass holders, especially with the age of your kids, especially with the age of Parker. How do you keep the parks fresh for your kids? Because at this point, if you're listening to the show, you're aware we go to the parks a lot, not my family, but like people go to the parks a lot. And you say, oh, you're going to go to the parks. Oh, I'm poor you going to Epcot again or Magic Kingdom or, you know, the studios. But there comes a point where it's like sometimes the kids are just like, you know, now we're exposed to it so often. It doesn't hold the same magic. And I know if you're listening, you're like, that's impossible. It happens. It's burnout.
It is absolutely possible. This is where we currently are. Okay. This is where we currently are. So we are now trying to find or incorporate newer things to do, you know, maybe a checklist, so to speak.
Yep.
Beignets, Boathouse, you know, there's other things I want to do, like Tricircle D Ranch. And, you know, there's so many things also outside of the parks that you can do. But there, and again, we just have to work to make it fresh and not feeling obligated to doing the same things over and over again. Yeah. And so Parker will be 14 next February. And, you know, we're going to be taking a break from the parks for a bit. And, but we find also giving him a little bit of independence helps as well. So,
Okay. Well, you know, I agree with you. Find the things outside of the parks, find the things that aren't in the Disney company itself. It gives a whole new perspective, you know, theme park coasters when you go to SeaWorld and Universal. And, you know, I mean, I know you're like, oh my gosh, I would never do that. But since you're a driver and you have the car, you're not beholden like a prisoner on property. You can do those things. I've always said there's so many fun things to do. My favorite place in the entire universe is located about 13 miles from the park. And it's an amazing place to visit, you know? So go and visit and enjoy, right?
Still have not been there yet. But, you know, and you're right. I mean, we could utilize the Disney Vacation Club for what it is and just the accommodations. You know, the accommodations itself have a lot to offer, but we can also venture off property a bit, you know?
But here's the cool thing. Here's the cool thing about DVC and about being a Vacation Club member, and this I still appreciate, but I haven't actually stayed as a member for 2 years. I've rented my points out, is that Disney and Disney Vacation Club changes as you get older, right? The kids no longer have a desire to do this, but now you'll find, okay, Parker wants to take up golf, and you're like, I've never played golf before, and all of a sudden you're golfing, and that becomes your version of vacation, you know? And Audrey all of a sudden tells you, hey, Mom, you know what? I've never been to the spa. I hope she doesn't have that bougie sense that her mom does. But you know what I'm saying? No, all of a sudden the Disney vacation changes and life just moves on in a different direction. But it can move with you, and that's okay. That's fun. You know, I appreciate that. Or you decide you're going to take a Disney Vacation Club member cruise, and you take 3 days, and you work your way onto the Disney Wish over in Port Canaveral, which is the next part of a vacation. So we're driving. We check out. We're in our car. And we end up at the port and we're going on the Wish. Accurate so far?
Yep.
It is. We had a, it is.
Okay. Tell us all about this.
We had, because a lot of the Disney Vacation Club members just happen to be staying concierge or Pearl or Platinum, we did get a later port arrival time because we're only Silver Castaway Club members. So you have different, you know, some people who are higher level who sailed more often get earlier booking days for their port arrival times, for their additional added things they would like to do on the ship. So we were set to arrive at 11:45. The ship doesn't sail away. I think the last boarding group might be like 2:30. So we were still getting on relatively early and could take advantage of that additional time. It was great. We pulled right up to the port. Somebody was there to take our bags for us. We went through the little terminal to pay. I think it was like $96 for 4 nights to keep our car there. And then we walked across, or we went down the elevator because the gangway was closed, I believe. And then we got passports this year. So that was a breeze. And then we hit security. And so all of our bags were checked minus the bags that we were carrying, which included things like medicine,
phone chargers,
you know, things like that, that we wanted to have on hand. So just, a few of you guys have heard the story, but just be cautious that you have checked every single pocket inside a bag that you are carrying, because we found out and we were held up for about 2 hours because we had something in our possession that we had forgotten about and we almost didn't make it on the ship. I'm not sure how close we were to not making it on the ship, but you know.
Gotcha. So be extra careful. I was guilty of that just the other day after we were talking about this and we were joking about this, you know, amongst ourselves. Mm-hmm. I happened to pull out a backpack because I needed to repurpose a backpack for work. And I was looking in there and I actually had stuff from my last trip. I had a plane ticket. I had like over $40 in cash. And all of a sudden I know it's not the same thing, but like, oh, damn, I forgot I had $40 in cash. But as easy as it is to fit $40 in cash in your backpack, it can be just as easy to leave something like, I don't know, anything. You know, it could be your face razor or anything, you know, that you can't bring on. You
know, and I think that's the thing with repurposing, you know what I mean? What would be carried as a bag and have these kind of things in it, if you are using it as a carry-on bag, you tend to forget, and you have a lot of pockets, you tend to forget little hideaway, you know. Yeah. So lesson learned, we will be checking all of our pockets and it will remain a joke probably for the rest of our lives.
Yeah. For the rest of our lives.
And so I'm curious as to who's going to want to embark with us on the cruise in July on the Epcot cruise.
Oh, you're going to be extra triple, double, quadruple careful, I'm sure at that point, you know.
Oh yeah.
So, but, and if you're going on a cruise, yes. Now, if you're going on an airplane, they're probably even going to be more strict on that. So definitely be careful before you board that airplane. Make sure you check all your pockets and know what's in your
possession. We had to get many levels of clearance. They pulled our luggage that we had already checked in. They went through our dirty clothes from the few days before in our checked luggage to make sure that we did not have anything else stowed away. Yeah.
You guys are like, you may not want to check. Never mind. Go ahead.
Yeah. Go ahead. The staff captain on the boat had to give us clearance to get on the ship. Multiple levels. So
all good. So we're on the boat and I did want to ask you one question beforehand. Who are these people that are getting these triple diamond platinum boarding passes? Who could possibly go? Who are these people and what do they do for a living? Because I want to know, I need that job, right? I can't, I'm like color rust right now. They would let me on last. So
yeah,
we did meet people? A retired school teacher that was Club 33 and they were pearl.
Yeah.
So. Wow.
She had her flashy sunglasses on, her Club 33
diamond necklace
with her Dooney Club 33 bag. And I was like, oy vey.
Where did he's going to let you know about it, right? Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So
you're on the boat and is there a process for this? Do you go to your room first? Do you go and get your refill cup? Do you go and eat at the buffet first? Do you go, what is your process for boarding the boat?
Our process like? Or well, yeah, obviously there's varying.
Yours you know, specifically. Ours. What does your process look like?
We went directly to our room first, because it was ready.
Yep.
And our bags had not arrived yet, but they were also held up. So at that point, you're given your key to the world card outside of your door. Then you have, because we're Silver Castaway Club members, we had lanyards laying on the bed that we could put our key to the world club in. And they had a couple extra gifts for like being a Silver Castaway Club member. But I'd also had the room decorated for Chris's birthday, so which he totally expected. I'm going to stop doing this kind of stuff because I was like, did you expect it? He's like, yeah, I expected it. So I'm just going to stop doing that. Stop.
Save the money. Save the money, right?
Save the money.
It was cute. I liked it.
Yeah. So we got some cute little things to take home. But, you know, when you're on a DVC member cruise and outside of wanting to expand our DVC knowledge and meet with like-minded people, you come on there for the DVC member swag. So that is, you come on there for the DVC member swag and because they bring on special guests.
I wanted to know what makes this so unique is in, I've heard you get stuff, right? Yes. But I didn't know if that was like the big draw because sometimes the stuff they give you at, you know, like I got a box back there of when I bought DVC and like, I got a personal fan, you know, and stuff, but like, what do they give you? Give me an example of swag that they might give you.
So we, the way it worked in years prior from what I'd heard, because this was our favorite, our first member cruise, was they would leave gifts every single night, or every time you would return to your room. And then you'd kind of have to say, oh my, because they always, they told us, bring an extra bag with you to pack all your loot, you know, when you go, right? So we had an extra duffel bag packed. Thank you, Cindy Ellicott, for leaving a duffel bag behind, because that's the one I brought. But when we arrived, they had a, this little note that said, hey, I know it can be stressful sometimes packing everything that we give you. So we have given you a bag stuffed with, you know, the majority of your items already. So they were already ready to go. And so they were humongous, like, and we had, because we had four, we had ourselves and two children with us. We got four of each item. And so they were these huge blue member cruise duffel bags. We had, so everything was kind of member cruise exclusive. And this year's mascot was Goofy, which was super cute. And so it came with a member cruise beach bag, a huge beach blanket, baseball caps, corksicle cups, a Disney Nuemo with a little vest that had Disney member cruise on it. And then we each got an author signed limited edition of National Geographic 100 Disney Adventures of a Lifetime. We got Disney fine art prints, Disney member pins, a pack of Lorcana cards. Yeah. So it was quite a bit. And then each night they left a little something. So I will say, because I didn't read the letter like I should have when I came back that night and there was nothing but there, but a little tiny pin. I was like, what is this? They didn't leave anything. But on the letter, I was expecting more than they gave me, greedy Cassandra. But yes, but we did leave with quite a bit.
That's like trick or treating at someone's house. But instead of getting one piece of candy, they held you, they hand you the unwrapped like bag of the 5 pound bag of candy. Kid, don't go by anyone else's house. Take this, go home. That's what they did to you, essentially, was they gave it to you all in one situation.
But so we did go by the room, and then after that, we went by the kids' club and did the open house with the kids. So we have kids in varying ages. You know, the Oceaneers Club is ages 3 to 12. And then you have the Edge, which I believe is 11 to, don't quote me on that. 13
well, it's okay. Or 14. Okay. I got a question here, though, because you're talking about Kids Club, but you're also talking about September. So I'm imagining you say DVC member cruise or Disney Wish, and I'm imagining you're going to have a whole bunch of kids on the boat, which some of the DVC members, like we mentioned before, different stages in life, different you have no kids, right? So maybe you're just looking for, what are we looking at here in terms of number of kids on the boat? What does that look like?
So we had anticipated to be a lighter kid cruise, or you know on the kid side, because it was literally, we pulled our children out 2 weeks after school started. So we booked this last October. We knew what we were, you know, what was coming. And so I had to say my apologies to the teachers and the, you know, the dean. And usually when we spoke with a cast member, there are around 1,200 kids on board. And there were around 250 kids on board.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it was, I don't want to say it was rare to see a child. We saw more toddlers and babies than we did see kids our age, of course, because of school. So to see a child, our kid's age was actually a little odd, but it allowed for, you know, being able to get on the Aquamouse, you know, over and over again without a huge line. And a lot of character. I mean, of course you still had adults going to this stuff too, right? Cause we were still going to this stuff, but there were like, you know, the lines for the meet and greets on board were less and, you know.
How about the Bippity Boppity Boutique? That must've been just like, hey, anytime you want, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, like up to the day, usually stuff like that sells out. And again, with the booking thing, you know, the Pearl and the Platinum and the concierge can book that up, you know, before anybody else can. But I mean, I had my choice of whenever I wanted to book for the kids if I wanted to. So
all good information. So I have a branch off question, which is more of a personal question, but it's relevant. So we're talking September. We're talking a four-night cruise, right? This is a four-night cruise. Make sure I get that right. All right. September, four-night cruise, hurricane season, mm-hmm. but you're also thrown in Disney. So it's already expensive, right? So yes. If I could ask the personal question, mm-hmm. what did this run? Because this is important, because when you think Disney Vacation Club and you're thinking like Disney Cruise Line, you're like, oh man, this is going to be a whopper. But right. it's off season. So are these things different then at this point?
It is. So usually member cruises run a little bit more expensive than a traditional Disney cruise because of the special guests that they have, the swag, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of thing. But because it was in the off season, we knew that it would be a little bit more reachable for our family. Mm-hmm. And so our family of four in a, like, I don't want to say a standard veranda, but, you know, not in a family, you know, suite that could sleep mm-hmm. five. Not one of the larger ones, was $5,100.
Okay. So write that number down. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, usually that I would think that that cruise would probably cost about $4,300 without it being a member cruise for that time frame. Okay. Now that same cruise we looked at going for spring break. Cause of course, once you get off a cruise, you're like, I gotta go again. I gotta go again. Yeah. You know, $9,000. No, that might have been the fantasy for a seven night, but you're talking gobs and gobs of money.
$7,000 at least, right?
Yeah, so that's you're where definitely it hurts. Exactly. Because you're like, I could take this same cruise in the off season for so much less. So
now, okay, so let's reframe that number. $5,100 four nights. So we're gonna say roughly $1,300 a night. That's what you're paying for this cruise for your family of four. And you're like, that's a lot of money. It is. It's a lot of money, right? Mm-hmm. No matter where we spend that money, it's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. But if you got your family of four and you go to the Magic Kingdom, it's $149 per person to get to the Magic Kingdom. So you got $600 committed right there. Plus you got parking. So before you even get in the park, you're at like $640, right? With committed right. money. You haven't included one meal. Now you got four people. So you got at least eight meals in there. Each meal is $20. So you're at right. $160 to $200, not including tips, somewhere around there. So you're at like $860. Now you're not got any souvenirs and all these DVC member swag, they provide you souvenirs. Mm-hmm. And you know, at this point, you haven't got any snacks. Everything else is included. Pop's included on these cruises. So the right. number's not outrageous. And if you're already going to the parks, I mean, you can definitely tell I'm pro this, even though I've never taken a Disney Vacation Club cruise or a Disney right. cruise line. But yeah. like the numbers aren't out of the realm of what you're right. spending.
If you're comparing already. Disney to Disney, you know what right. I mean? If you're comparing SeaWorld to Disney, then, mm-hmm. you know, Disney Cruise Line, then it's, you know, it's correct, but if you're comparing Disney to Disney, I mean, the numbers, I don't want to say make sense, but they're justified in a sense. They correct. Offset one another. Yeah.
All right. We're going to talk about the ports. We're going to talk about Castaway Key, and we're going to talk about the people. But I did want to go back. I wrote something down. You mentioned the word Lorcana, which mm-hmm. Lorcana is the new role-playing game, essentially through Disney, kind of like Magic the Gathering, but it's the Disney
TCG? Yep, it's a trading card game.
Trading card game.
Okay. So Disney Lorcana was just released like a month ago at like the Game Con, right, in Indianapolis. Was that right, essentially, or was released part of that?
It was at Gen Con was the big release, yeah.
Okay. Now, I guess the creator was on this cruise as one of the people. Is that correct?
That's correct. The co-creator, Ryan Miller. I mean, we had hopes. Like, you know, we would ask, who do you want to be on this cruise? You know, and I was like, Di Cappella. I don't know if you've heard any of their songs, but I love Di Cappella. You know, they a cappella, they do Disney songs. But but we said, I wonder if, you know, any of the Lorcana people are going to be on there. And I will say, before we got on board, we were part of a Facebook group for our sailing, and apparently the co-creator's wife was on that same group because Ryan Miller doesn't have Facebook, and said, hey, if somebody wants to meet up and play Lorcana, we'd be happy to do so on Sunday before the sailing. So there were quite a few people interested. We already had gotten a starter deck at our local game store. And so we cut our Animal Kingdom day short on Sunday, and we went over to Coronado Springs, and it ended up being just our family of four and one other gentleman. And we met with Ryan Miller, again, the co-creator of Lorcana, and played for 2 hours.
Holy cow.
I mean, so we had like one-on-one time for that. Like, I mean, that at, I don't know. He was eating candy out of Audrey's palm, literally, by the end of the time. Yeah, she was force feeding him Stitch sour belts.
That's awesome.
So
what did he teach? Did he teach about the history or strategy or just his thoughts, or what did you like pick up on that time? Because that's really pretty cool. I mean, that's like a tutorial by the guy who created it,
right? And that's what he, so his, I don't know if he had heard about the member crews or they had reached out to him, but his goal was to get people playing this game, to get excited about playing this game and to ensure that it's a success. Mm-hmm. So he wanted to get on board and set up times each day to have people come over to him and learn how to play if they wanted to. Okay. Because it can be very overwhelming if you're trying to, you know, I kind of learned because we were forced into gameplay to get our starter decks at the gaming mm-hmm. store. So that's what he wanted to do. He hosted times each day, and you could kind of come and go as you please. And he was just moving about, you know, that area, just so excited, so pumped. He's like 6'7". I mean, like a lurch of a guy, just so dang nice and just so energetic. He was just getting everybody pumped about the game.
Now, if you're listening, you're like, I've never heard of this. I don't have these game cards. Like, this is a big deal. Go look at the pictures from the convention in Indiana. Go look at the pictures of what happened on that convention floor when they released this. It was madness. It was exactly right. If you're a trading card fan or a Disney fan, you were completely aware of it. And these cards are selling offline right now on eBay for like a crazy amount of money at this point. So this is a big deal. So I'm going to give like a special, like this is like a super important tip. Look for your cruise on Facebook, usually a cruise. Heck, for the Adventure of the Seas cruise with the, you know, the Royal Caribbean, there's a Facebook group or two or three. Mm-hmm. Join the group, because information like this, you had the co-creator in a one-on-one situation where he was pretty much dominated by the Callahan family and held captive for 2 hours.
He literally was.
While you shook out all the secrets.
And then he's like, I'm going to go get a drink really quick from the store, you know, in Coronado. I'm like, no. Let me get that for you. Because I'm like, this is the least I could do, dude. He's like, you don't have to do that. And I'm like, here's your Coke Zero. You know what I mean? Like,
seriously.
But, yeah.
Who else was on the boat besides Ryan Miller, right? Who else in the boat?
Okay. So we got a member insider cruise. So we had a lot of Broadway stars, actually.
Yeah.
So we had Ryan Miller, you know, Lorcana, but we also had Susan Egan. So one of the nights they put on the Princess the concert, and apparently they're going to be touring.
Yes.
And so this was phenomenal. Partway in between, you know, in the show that they put on, Jodie Benson, the original Little Mermaid mm-hmm. voice, was there. You know, she does a lot of Disney, you know, so that wasn't a big surprise that she was there, but she sang Part of Your World. But Susan Egan was there, and
she's the voice of Megara from Hercules.
And she also was the voice of, was she Belle on Broadway? I think she was
the original Belle on Broadway.
And then the voice of Megara on Hercules. So there was Isabella McCullough, who starred as Princess Jasmine in Broadway. There was Annalise Vanderpool, who was,
she was from That's So Raven.
That's So Raven. And then there was Cindy Winters. And she, oh my gosh, she was hands down absolutely amazing. She was one of the Nalas in The Lion King on Broadway. And she was so powerful. The video I sent you, I don't know if you had a chance to watch it, but she did Shadowlands and from The Lion King. And it was just so powerful that we were almost to the point of tears. But it, you know, it was certain productions and things like that, that we got to experience. So there was Adam Levy from Moulin Rouge. Levy. Okay. Let's see. So there were some other Broadway stars.
How about Star Wars? We got any Star Wars stars on this boat? We got
anybody
like that? We got anybody like that?
Yeah.
I did get the fangirl.
You mean besides Chewbacca when we did the open house in the kids club?
Well, I just want to know what Chris was like. This is it. I need to hear that side. Tell me.
I got the fangirl. I'm a deep Star Wars fan, for people that don't know. Okay. I've watched most of the animated series with the exception of one. And the voice of Ahsoka Tano, Ashley Eckstein, was on the boat.
Wow.
And I was actually fangirling so much that Brett Iwan, who's the voice and animator of Mickey Mouse, was standing right next to me. And I didn't even
notice it. No. Get out of the way, weird guy. I'm talking over here. Oh,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, apparently they're pretty close friends based on a panel that we went to. So we're like, hey, Ashley, can we get a picture with you? You know, well, he's like, I think that's Ashley. And I'm like, well, I'll go ask. And so she's like, yeah. And so they had set up the Heroes and Credit course. And so the kids were down there running the inflatable course. And he was like, I think that's Ashley. So I went over there and asked. And then, of course, we took pictures with her. But she's a huge bingo player. Saw her each time we went to bingo.
Yep.
And every time they called a special number, B11, they have a special dance. She went out there doing the dance. Oh, yeah. She's
okay. So. That's my question. So everybody that's on this cruise, all these people that are of Disney celebrity, are you running into them?
Oh,
walking around the boat, playing bingo, getting food. Are you just like,
did you see Don? Was it Don Hahn?
Mark Hesh, who's one of the animators for Disney.
Okay.
Was eating dinner right next to us. I saw the voice of Megara walking around the boat. We ran into Bob Farmer, the voice of Goofy.
Yeah.
And he just started talking to Audrey as Goofy, and it was just blowing her mind. Cool.
Wow. It's stuff like that I'm like, it's got to be a member cruise or nothing.
Yeah. So something like that, that's the benefit. That's part of the upcharge on that is because on a regular cruise, you might have, hey, here's a meet and greet, and then you'll never see them again. Don't talk to them again. They're here. Right. They're, you know, but like here, it's like, no. If they're on the boat with you, go and enjoy, you know? So
the genie on Broadway was carrying his Louis Vuitton. I didn't realize this who it was. I mean, like, I was like, okay, he's got his little Louis Vuitton duffel bag and he's going to Mickey and Friends Festival of Foods. He was going to get him some like Goofy's Grill or was it Goofy's Grill. He has Louis Vuitton. And I realized it when we went to the Broadway show with him in it that night. I'm like, oh, that was the genie from Broadway. So
we ran into a YouTuber that we watched,
Jen LaForge.
Yeah. She was staying concierge and two doors down from her was Don Hahn.
Wow.
One of the Imagineers.
Yeah. That's so awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me take you away from the DVC part of the cruise. Cause I'm just curious about the Disney Wish. If I can ask you just a few general questions on the cruise. So 4-night cruise, that's going to be a close port, right? So it's going to be something like Nassau or something close by, right? Is there a big draw once Disney hits port for people to disembark, or is the boat still largely full? Because people want to go and do all these things, the aqua dunk and the mouse coat, what does that look like at port?
So we have never gotten off at Nassau. The boat was still I don't want to say it was busy because they also were about 1,000 people less than usual capacity. So they did withhold capacity on that ship as well. So it never really felt super busy until you went into the theaters, then it was bananas.
Yeah,
but so we stayed on the boat Nassau, and then most everybody gets off at Castaway. Mm-hmm. So we got off at Castaway and then had the day at sea. So, and that was our third time sailing, and that's the only itinerary we've ever done.
Okay.
So we're excited to explore different things.
Yeah. In the Caribbean, there are some destinations that are definitely unique and you want to get off and explore. And there are some that is definitely not like, oh, I would not go to that port. But when you're on a Disney cruise line, that's different than sailing on a Carnival boat. Might be a little older. And you're like, no, I won't. I have a reason to get off the boat now. I don't need the temptation to stay on. But
I mean, there's so many things that we didn't even have a chance to try on this ship that we didn't realize until we were disembarking that, oh my gosh, we never really made it to the adults only. Like they have the, what is the place we did bingo? Luna. The Luna Lounge, which is kind of in the middle. But we never saw the adults only only pools or the Cove Cafe with the coffee. Can you believe it? I didn't go to the coffee shop on, you know, because I could get coffee at any of the bars and we had room service breakfast, you know, a lot of the times. So that's my criticism. I'm now jumping all over the place.
Chris, no, this is good. This is good.
That's my criticism over in the Wish. And it's not anything that people haven't heard before is that we had sailed the Dream twice before and we were very familiar with that layout. And yeah, change stinks, but change is very hard for me. But I had heard because of them removing the mid elevators that it kind of cut off a lot of things. And it really did. Like otherwise we probably would have ran into those areas and said, oh, this is where it is. But we never ran into those areas because it was so like, you could take this elevator, this place and to this floor, you know what I mean? And if you wanted to get over here, you had to go up on this elevator and that, you know what I mean? So, beautiful ship. I mean, like we tried a couple of the lounges. We walked through the Hyperspace Lounge, which was the Star Wars lounge. Never really sat and got a drink there, but we tried a couple of different lounges.
What about the food? Tell me about the food on these boats, because I mean, Scott was on with a Norwegian cruise line that said the food, the desserts far superior. And I've heard Royal Caribbean boats too, as well. I've heard people come out with root and they said the food was on this boat was better than anything I've had on Disney Cruise Line. But Disney Cruise Line routinely wins the best of class and a lot of cruise line reports. So what did the food look like? I mean, as far as I know, they don't use the word probably sit down. You know, they have, you know, assigned dining in like fancier restaurants and they have quick service. What does that look like on a Disney Cruise Line boat?
Right. So the Wish has the rotational dining, and you know, your I don't want to say hostess, your servers stay with you.
Yeah.
You know, they move because you're assigned certain restaurants, certain nights of the trip, and your servers move with you. And so the first night we had Arendelle. So that was Frozen themed. And that was a lot of fun, but it really can be a make or break depending on the seating that you have. And it's very, you're in tight quarters, but they did come over to our table. So I had heard that sometimes they don't come visit. They did. We saw Elsa, Anna, Kristoff. Then we saw Oaken.
Yep. The Wandering Oaken.
Big summer blowout. And Olaf, you know, rolling around on his little cart. And so I'm not a super adventurous eater. So I think I'll always go with like the sirloin and a baked potato is probably where I went with that. But I'm also not a super fussy eater. Like if it's edible, I'm happy. You know,
understood.
I mean?
I understand.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So
I thought the juniper chicken I had was good. It came with these fingerling potatoes that were, I guess, twice fried or something. He's looking at pictures.
Yeah.
Okay. What about like, did you notice anybody around you that had any food allergies or what that would they have been plugged into that? Would they have immediately brought you the vegetarian meal, the pescatarian meal?
Wait staff on a Disney cruise, the advantage of them going with you, especially if you have dietary restrictions, is going to be phenomenal because they take notes. I mean, you can see them writing every once in a while what everybody gets.
Gotcha.
And there's certain things that they know, you know, Audrey and Parker drink milk most of the time. So we'd get to the table and they'd have a kid's cup of water and a kid's cup of milk already waiting on them.
Right. Chicken tenders already coming out the door, you know, that kind of thing for them. But the same with dietary restrictions. I believe you notify them in advance and then they're pretty fantastic. I mean, we don't have any allergies or dietary restrictions, but
Rotational dining. What about lunch? What do you do for lunch? Is there a buffet? Is there just like you're picking up food at kiosks and quick service options? What does lunch look like?
So you have both options. You have Marceline Market, which is a buffet, and we only went there once for breakfast. Outside of that, I think one of the biggest draws now to the Wish has been the kiosks that you said, like the quick service, quote unquote. And that included Daisy's Pizza Pies, which Audrey said is the number one cheese pizza ever. So it will forever beat Little Caesars. And so
it wasn't bad pizza.
It wasn't,
I'm not gonna lie.
It wasn't bad pizza.
You know what though? But when you're on a cruise and when it's cheesy and it tastes vaguely like pizza, it's pretty
good.
You can
get it whenever you want. I mean, it's just banana. So Daisy's Pizza Pies, Mickey's Smokestack Barbecue. So they had kielbasa, pulled pork, macaroni and cheese, potato salad, coleslaw, that kind of thing.
They had vegetarian options there too. They had smoked plantains and a couple other things.
Nice.
Every kiosk had some sort of vegetarian option. Yeah,
so I would think they would have to now. It's become so mainstream now. If you don't have a plant-based item, pretty much every place you're going to go, you'd be shocked. Right. You'd be like, what?
Yeah. So they had Donald's Cantina, which we really enjoyed. And that you can make like the rice bowls or like the taco bowls or like tacos. And it was just really good stuff. Like the first day we were there, that's where we ate lunch.
I had the smokehouse and you had the cantina.
I had the cantina. I had a little rice bowl and it was really good. Goofy's Grill. And then you had, of course, Sweet Minnie's Ice Cream, which is where you can get the all you can enjoy. Well, all you can enjoy anywhere, but, you know, frozen soft serve.
Were they open all cruise long? Like, I mean, from like 11 till like 11, or what were the hours of like those kiosks?
I don't know, but it seemed like.
They would shut down, I think, for a couple hours around the rotational dining, maybe to give them a break and clean up. But then they were open late. I mean, 11, 12 o'clock.
Yeah, because that's where we'd find Parker. We didn't see Parker much this cruise. So because we give him such, you know, leeway, you know, and because he's got an iPhone and you have an iPhone, you can just.
He's not getting lost. He's not getting lost in that boat.
Right. He's going to find his phone.
Right. So, he was really enjoying the Edge, which was the mid level for his group. And then because he's almost 14, we were able to sign the waiver for him to be able to go to the Vibe, the older kids club too. That's 14 to 17, if he wanted to, but he more hung out in the Edge, and that kind of thing. Yeah. So,
all right. So we've just talked about the food. That's the danger of a cruise. And if you've not gone on a cruise before, here it is. It's literally all inclusive. All you can eat. All day long, anything your heart desires. And that's the danger. Because whenever you walk by it, you're like, you know, yeah, I do feel a little peckish. I could use my fourth lunch of the day with that little. And that's the danger. Yeah. Like, you never eaten French fries at 4 in the afternoon ever in your life until today. You know, now you're eating French fries at 4 in the afternoon because you wanted them.
I learned my lesson, not this past cruise, but the one before that, the first night we were on board.
We both did.
Oh, yeah. We had dinner. Sat down dinner, and then Audrey, I think, was at the kids club. She didn't. I don't think she did the sit down dinner that night, or didn't want to because she was obsessed with the kids club. So we took her, you know, up to the quick service meal, so to speak, and she had a hot dog and she didn't want to finish it. So mommy finished it. Well, big mistake. Do not overstuff yourself on a cruise, especially because the first night of the sailing always seems to be the roughest on that itinerary, and it was smooth sailing. But when you're booking it from Port Canaveral to Nassau, I mean, they are hauling tail. So you're going to feel a little bit of it every night after that, though. It was just like, especially for hurricane season, right? It was just, but man, that first night I overstuffed myself the cruise before, and whoo, big mistake.
Okay. So I'm going to give a little advice then. I guess the important thing is to make sure you're eating enough roughage during these meals to make sure we're making this flow through appropriately, because we're eating an enormous amount of food at this point.
Yeah.
Correct?
Space it out. Yeah.
And drink your coffee. A lot of coffee. Keep that morning going. Okay. Yeah. We talked about food. We talked about your room. Give me like as far as, were you impressed with the room? Room size, good, bad, functional? Or on a cruise, as we've experienced, it's literally a place to sleep and take an occasional nap, and you're out of that room. Is that what you found as well?
Yeah. I mean, we would sleep in there and drop off whatever we bought in the gift shops and then out the door.
He says that, but he won't let me book anything but a veranda.
Well, that's okay.
If that was the case, he'd let me book it inside. Or ocean view.
Well, hang on. You're all bougie, so you ain't going to take an inside anyways, even he said
to,
right?
The room was beautiful. And the reason why I love DCL, and especially having a boy and a girl, is they have the Pullman beds. So they have the bunk beds, and then they've got, but it was beautiful. And the mattress was really cushy. So I think that helps with the waves. Yeah. You know, we didn't feel it. So I was like, that was really smart. But we had the Sleeping Beauty themed, because there's different decks are themed different. You know, you have Moana and Sleeping Beauty, and Princess and the Frog, Frozen. So we had Rapunzel. Yeah. So the rooms were beautiful. I mean, the bathrooms were beautiful. But I will say, when we got off that ship and got to the Polynesian, and they have one of the largest studios on property, we felt like we were walking into a mansion.
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
Because it was just, I mean, it's a cruise. It's a small room, even though they have one of the largest standard room sizes on a cruise ship. It is still small.
But they're confined by a space, dude.
They're in front of the bed.
Yeah.
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 All right. So we're going to go off the boat in a second. I got two last questions. First off, I know you've been to Castaway Cay a couple times, but you're always impressed, always a remarkable time. Or could it use improvement? Could it use updating? What do you think about Castaway Cay?
We tried something new this time. You know, we always don't always, but we try to do something different. And we did the swimming with the stingrays.
Okay.
It was fun. It was shocking. You don't expect something to feel that way. They were softer than I expected.
Okay.
I
don't know if it's something we would spend the money on
again. I don't
think
we would spend the money to do it again. I mean, it was really cool. I mean, it was an experience. It was $200 for our family. Audrey kind of freaked out, even though she said she wasn't going to. She backed away and like she didn't want to feed the stingrays. But they take such great care of them. They know each one, you know, by name, and the barbs are trimmed, and they allow the stingrays to come up on their own terms. You know, they're not going to force them up, you know, to feed them and stuff. So it was very nicely handled and managed, you know what I mean? But we probably wouldn't do that again. You know, the island is beautiful. And of course we've not sailed any other cruise line, but because we are sailing, you know, next year on a different line, Royal Caribbean, and I've heard so many things about, you know, Perfect Day at Coco Cay and how much it has to offer. We're excited for that because, Scott, explained it to me in a message that he said it almost feels like you're on a deserted island in a sense. I mean, you have everything that you can need, right? But it's I don't want to say it's untouched, but you know, it's beautiful. Cookie, you know, you have your barbecue restaurants there, you have your your bars, that kind of thing, snorkeling. The kids clubs, they have the kids clubs are on Castaway. So we dropped Audrey off there, Scuttles Cove. So we spent about from 10 to like 2:30 on there.
Well, that's the wonderful thing about being a consumer, right? It's like the great arms race, but of entertainment and family, you know, entertainment. So it not only in theme parks, also in cruise lines, who can build a bigger boat, who can have more stuff on the boat, who can build a better private island destination, you know, and everyone that gets a little bigger, a little better, a little more impressive. So that's the cool thing about being a consumer. Let's talk about leaving the boat. What does disembarkation look like? Is it organized? Do they give you times? Do they pick up your luggage? What does that look like on a Disney boat?
So you have the option. You can do express walk off, but at 7:30 in the morning. But that means you're hauling all your luggage, or you can put out all of your luggage by 10:30 that night. And we had 2 minutes to spare to get all of our luggage out door. And I think we had like 8 pieces. And our
room attendant kept walking by.
Our room attendant,
are y'all done? Not yet.
So we had Chris schlepping the luggage down there to him. The room attendants, the cast members on board are just so amazing. But yes, if you want assistance with your luggage, you have to have it out at 10:30 at night. And so we did. And then I think you have to be off board by 9:30. But if you have the early dining, so they have two seatings for dining. For dinner. So 5:30 and 8:30. And if you have that first dining slot like we had, you're eating breakfast at 6:30 in the morning.
Okay.
Which we weren't about. So I think we got out of there at like 8:30. But it was so, so smooth. You disembark, you have your carry-on that you wanted to bring with you. And then you have people that are just ready. You know, if you want assistance with your luggage, they, you know, everything's tagged a certain way. Like we had Tinkerbell. So they went to the Tinkerbell area. And these people are paid, you know, by tips. So, but he you know, took our 8 things of luggage and walked us to our car, and we were happy to tip, you know. Yeah,
the 8 things of luggage for sure. Okay. And then you went back. So you're back to Walt Disney World at this point. Okay. So you're clearly slumming it at the Polynesian after the Wish and after the Riviera. So yeah, exactly.
Slumming it. Yes.
Why are you doing that? Why are you guys, I'm curious. We've done the same thing. We've stayed the day of December vacation because it just winds the vacation down a little slower and it's not so hectic because you got to combine off the boat, transfer, airplane check-in, get right there. And it's kind of like it's a tense, it's an anxiety-filled moment on that last day. Why did you guys choose to go back?
Well, I can't say it's a logical decision. It's trying to squeeze out every vacation minute that we possibly can, you okay. know? Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, so you're like, heck, we're here. Let's just do it, right?
At right. Point. We're an hour away. Let's go back to our favorite resort, you know? Okay. And right.
What was the version? What were you guys doing? Just resort hopping or hanging out? Or what are we doing here?
So we waited, like we were in our car and I said, okay, what can we get for breakfast? You know, we're staying at the Polynesian. Chris is like, well, Kona's got a 9:30. I'm like, grab it. Perfect. So, you know, it's Kona's at Polynesian and they have the macadamia nut pancakes, which I absolutely love. Smoked Gouda grits are some of our favorites. So good. So we grabbed a Kona 9:30, pulled up actually about 9 o'clock. You can check in for a advanced dining reservation 20 minutes early. So we did that. I'm trying to think, I think they had our room ready at that a little bit after that, but we had just left our luggage. I can't remember. We may have dropped our luggage off with Bell Services, to be honest.
Okay.
Right. So we had Kona and then we hopped on the monorail and we went to Magic Kingdom and we rode Pirates, Jungle Cruise, and then our virtual queue spot for Tron was up. So we rode Tron and then again, another annual pass holder problem. We're like, I think we're done for the day. By then it's like 12 o'clock.
Yep.
12:30 maybe. So we got some of that. Debbie, you know, my coworker, was saying how amazing that popcorn that you can customize in the confectionery is. So we did stop by the confectionery and I got some kind of,
I saw your picture.
Drizzled chocolate, you know, chopped up pretzels, peanut M&Ms in it. It was heaven. So we got
popcorn
that.
Is the least ingredient in your fancied up popcorn, right?
Then we rode back to the Polynesian, and it happened to be D23 weekend. So, okay. I will say a lot of the guests that were on the DVC member cruise, not the special guests, and probably a lot of the guests who booked the member cruise were going to D23 that was being held at the Contemporary. So Rick Forbes, Rico Suave, was also staying at Bay Lake Tower at that time. And so we, linked up and asked if we wanted to, you know, hang out. And then we ended up over at Splitsville for some bowling and dining and then Everglades Donuts. So both of those were a first for our family.
Yep.
Like, so you're off the boat. Now you're hobnobbing with bigger celebrities of Rick Forbes, Monorail Tales, Rick Forbes, DCA. Okay. And did you guys eat at Splitsville? Because that meant, and I want to ask you a question because I always see it as an ADR and I look at the menu and I'm like, dang, they got a wide menu. They got sushi and pizza. And this is a big menu, but like, it's never drawn me enough to go. Cause I'm like, well, would I really go eat at Splitsville without bowling? Like first world problems, right? Like, I really want
to. Well, and I have to agree because I'm always like, how do you coordinate getting a bowling lane and eating? Like, do I have to make a reservation for eating? Do I need to make a reservation for bowling? And we didn't do either. This was Friday at like 4 and I was really surprised. I'd heard so many good things about the Splitsville food. So we had wanted to try, but again, I was confused about the whole process because we would want to bowl. So we just took the chance and did a walk up and we were able to get a lane. And then because we had a lane, we could just order from the lane. So
Nice.
They actually have a big table right outside the lane where the ball return is, so you can eat while you bowl.
Yeah. So
this is awesome. So it's a bowling alley, which everyone's used to seeing Miller Lite and pub style pizzas, you know, and whatnot. But Splitsville is opposite. It's not artisanal, but it's quality. And it's like, what would you put it on par with? Give me a restaurant people can associate Splitsville food like. And I don't want to offend anybody. I mean, it's better than Applebee's. It's better than like Chili's.
I don't want to say taco sushi, but you know, where you just have, it was just a mix of everything. I mean, and I know JJP, I think, raves about the sushi you can get there. And that's what Rick got as well. I had a burger. I kind of wish I would have expanded just a little bit. It was good. You know what I mean? But Parker said it was the best fish and chips he's ever had. And
that's what I'm looking for. So you're on a Disney cruise and now you're at Splitsville. On par with the food you would have received on the cruise line?
Maybe better.
Depending on where you went.
Because we're not fancy eaters. And when you go to those rotational dining, you know, they have all these little ingredients that I don't recognize and I'm too afraid to try. And yes, just order, you know, if you're afraid to order something on the cruise, just order it because they will happily bring it to you to try.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And if you don't like it, they will bring you something else.
Outstanding.
But, you know, Chris had the
Killer Bee Pizza.
And he
described what's on it.
It is pepperoni, mushroom, and it had hot honey.
Hot drink. Honey. I thought so. As soon as you said Killer Bee, it had to have been hot honey.
It was not a pizza you expect to get from a bowling alley.
Right? Sushi as well, too. I could imagine that. So
Rick ordered the sushi, and we're not big fish eaters, but it looked really good.
I get
tempura shrimp rolls when I get sushi, the crunchy tempura
shrimp
rolls.
That's the extent of our sushi. So if they can make that, and that's what Rick said that his was pretty much, but like you're going to have to get the avocado out of there as well. Like just give me the shrimp, give me the cucumber, and give me that spicy mayo on top, and I'm a happy girl.
We've fought about avocado off the air before, me and you, Cassandra. You know how I feel about guacamole, right?
Terrible. Terrible stuff.
All right. So how many nights were we at the Poly?
Just for two.
Just for two.
Yeah. So we did that. We ended the night with Rick. Well, because I don't know if you saw on his birthday post that I did for him, but at Splitsville, if the head pin is pink and you bowl a strike, you have to take a video. But if you bowl a strike when the head pin is pink, then you get a free donut from Everglazed. So he happens.
They sucked you right in Everglaze donuts, right?
So they get you too because it's a buy one, get one free.
But they didn't say that. So we ventured over there and bless Rick's heart. I mean, he probably spent $60 on donuts because he just treated us to it with his free donut that he got because of a strike.
So his free donut cost him $60?
Yeah,
is that essentially? Much,
yeah.
I like Disney math. It always works out like that, doesn't it?
So, but then we were done for the night, and the next day we were going to go back to Magic Kingdom, but again, we lasted 2 hours and we just decided to do a low key. We got breakfast from Captain Cook's. They had this amazing breakfast pizza that I had. And then we just did a pool day and we tried Trader Sam's for the first time.
But you were all responsible, and I know this because Beatrice texted Parker and he responded back that I'm doing homework because I got to get my homework done before I go back to school. So I don't even know if you were aware of that. So he was texting Beatrice that says I'm doing my homework before I go back to school. And I was like,
that's probably the 15th time that I had reminded him. And I'm like, dude, we are literally like on the last leg of this trip and you were given very little assignments because I mean, we started a brand new school. The school was just built. Everybody's learning everything. We're like, hey, we're pulling our kids out for, 5 days. Sorry. And that's
okay. We have tons of educator friends and I don't speak for them. I only speak for me and my family, my wife, who's an educator. And when you have the opportunity, at least before your kids are in high school with these major commitments and these major classes, and you could take your kids out of class, it's okay. because the memories remain from vacation and from family time, and you'll have time to catch up from school. And I'm not saying it should happen all the time, but the moment that you have an opportunity to go and spend time with your family, it's okay. Do it. Because they're going to be too old soon enough where they won't be able to enjoy it.
And Parker's in eighth grade, and, you know, we figured this was the last hurrah because, you know, next year is high school.
It's harder.
And, you know, we could take Audrey out all day long in kindergarten, you know. But we've done many trips where we pulled the kids out of school, and now we know that it's time that we have to focus on maybe some traditional out-of-school times. And what makes it difficult is, you know, in the line of work that Chris is in, he can't take vacation in November or December. So that rules out Thanksgiving and then Christmas break. We literally have spring break to work with in summer.
Yeah, preach, sister. I know what the summer is, looks like. So I know all about that. You know, you do what you got to do.
Downtime for school is our busy time at the dealership.
Yeah. You find a way. And that's why I'm saying if you have an opportunity, if you're listening and your kids are in first grade and third grade, that's okay. Don't even think twice about it. Now, if you're not doing this every month, but like, that's okay. Enjoy the family time. It'll go by, you know, those days are so long, but those years are so short. It goes by so fast. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden they're in eighth grade and freshman and sophomore. It's all done, you know?
Right.
All right. So describe your cruise experience in three words, Cassandra.
Exceeded my expectations, or let's
no, that was pretty good. That was pretty good. Okay. I would drop the hammer on that one.
But see, I want to base it somewhere. So it exceeded my expectations in being that it was the member cruise, and now I'm afraid to cruise anything but a member cruise. But
three words, woman. Come on now.
I'm sorry. Exceeded my expectations.
That's good. Crash, what do you got, buddy? Give me three words.
Oh no, you get the three word challenge.
Check your bag.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah.
All right. So part of the cruise though, too, I do want to give a shout out to this. And I'm glad you went on this because you work for DVC-Rental, buy and sell DVC. So it's a Disney Vacation Club resale and point rental company. And having somebody who's been on these member cruises, it only helps, you know, with your breadth of knowledge. So in your group, when people ask the question, you have a point of reference.
Yes.
But give us the best way to get a hold of you, both their address, their group, and ours. What's the best way? I think it's Disney Vacation Club, DVC. What is that group? I know I'm putting you on the spot, but
you are putting me on the spot. And I am putting this.
Hey, Cassandra, it's okay because Scott and I, when we record, we can't remember it either, and it's Scott's group. So tell us what it is.
You can find me in DVC-Rental webpage.
Okay.
And then also Disney Vacation Club Resales that you can ask any questions. You can message us on DVC-Rental webpage, and those messages will come directly to myself, Debbie, my coworker, or Scott. If he jumps in before we can have a chance to answer, he likes to do that sometimes. We can happily take care of any of the questions that you have. If you are inquiring about potentially renting points, if you want to check availability for dates, if you are a member and you are not going to utilize your points for the next upcoming year, if you have any banked points you need to get rid of, we can help you get rid of those. We pay $18 per point, which at this time is probably one of the highest that we pay, that members are paid. Mm-hmm. So we still pay our members $18 per point. We would love to help you. We would love to help secure a reservation for you. Currently, we can save you about 40%, 40 to 50% versus Disney pricing. Or again, we can rent out your points for you to somebody that's looking to stay at Disney Vacation.
Your old buddy Chris trusts them enough that I do it myself. They're the only ones that I use. So
I have been in his account, you guys. I have rented his points for him.
Cassandra has my login information. She literally has carte blanche. Go ahead and do it. So take care of it. Yes. All right. Outstanding. And you could also find them in our friend group. It's EDCOT, E-D-C-O-T. Scott and Jason and Shannon and Cassandra and Debbie. The whole crew essentially is part of our community as well, too. So find us there. Okay, so if you have any questions, Disney Wish, Riviera, Polynesian, Castaway Key, not Nassau, Castaway Key. Yeah, if you have any questions on food, on picky eaters, What else haven't I covered? On
Kids Clubs. That's where our kids stayed.
On Lorcana, on Ashley Eckstein, on Brett Ewan.
They have on Bingo, on losing at Bingo. Yes. We can help with that.
I'm a pro at losing at Bingo.
Yeah.
There you go. Ask them. They'll be able to get you answers. So we hope we entertain you today. We hope we cultivated your desire to go on a Disney Cruise Line cruise. It certainly did for me. I have yet to go, but it's on the list. It's not even a bucket list. It's on the reality list. I just got to figure out when. So, all right. So for downloading and listening, we appreciate that. We want to wish everybody a great day.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.